Today, we are going to explore a radical understanding I got in the early 2000s about generating inner light in chaotic times. You're going to tap into your own wisdom about generating light, and I'm going to offer you a couple of things, one in the form of a funny story that I hope will begin this process. All today on the Intuition for Changemakers show.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you remember that a world on fire is also a world ripe for solutions? Do you feel committed to gorgeousness in your life, this world, and for those who inhabit our planet? Did you know that already inside of you, you have the perfect tool to help you navigate these times, adding positively to your life and the world? Friend, here is the great news. Intuition works at lightning speed, and you were born with it. It's the internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. I'm your host, Aimé Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book, Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive brilliance for more than a decade. Join me each week on the Intuition for Changemakers show for true stories and tools that will inspire you to harness your intuitive birthright to heal, shine, tend, and nourish yourself and this world. Hello, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. Last week on the Intuition for Changemakers show, we talked about the link between your body and your intuition and how they are intimately connected. This week, I'm kind of thinking of it as a pep talk. Because what I hear again and again is how people are afraid right now. One of my solutionary students was telling our circle the other day how she tuned into the news and then was plummeted into a fearful state almost instantly. Luckily, she had tools. She is one of my program alumni too, so she's been with me for 2 years now because some of my alumni continue in our circle after they have finished their first year with me. They have the choice to keep going, and a lot of them do. So she's been with me for all that time, gathering with me and our new solutionaries, or, you know, they're new at the beginning of in October, because we usually start in October, and we gather via Zoom every 2 weeks for a whole year. So she was telling us how she used her intuitive tools, the ones I teach in my program. One that we call the Core Four, which is four different tools, but it amounts to connecting with your highest self, getting grounded, clearing your energy, and creating an energetic boundary for yourself, so that you can stay connected to yourself and not necessarily be flooded by the fear in the world. And then she went on to connect with her beloved spirit guides and get help from them. She did a little ritual for herself that was meaningful to her, basically her way out of the news or click-generated petrifying state was like the solutionary syllabus. The important thing for me was that she knew what to do. Because, love, fear might happen. One, it's natural and human And two, when you live in such a whack-a-mole world as we do right now, it's easy to get whiplash or to feel like you're not sure if the ground is falling out under you or not. So I want to talk about inner stability today, about generating inner light. I want to talk about something I learned in the early 2000s when the world was experiencing a similar upheaval. Generating light. And I want to talk about some big picture ideas that it helps to keep track of, especially in crazy times like these. And just for the record, of course, I want you to have the tools that my student knows. I want you to be able to rely upon your own wisdom to find stability and truth and peace. I want you to remember and know how to use all the benevolent, ethereal help that is available to you. I want you to experience how you are connected to and cared for by the whole, even in crazy times. And if you want those too, you should know that my Solutionaries program starts in about a week, the new moon in October, on Tuesday the 21st. So now is the time to step in if you are like, now more than ever, it is clear I need access and know-how about my inner support. I'll put a link in the show notes, of course. The doors are open now, but they close in less than a week. And you are welcome there. You may not know this about me, but my first job right out of college was as an environmentalist. This was my career for many years, actually. I once rode a ferry for a whole entire summer in Alaska, gathering letters to protect the roadless areas of this country, like the one we were passing through as we rode through the pristine Inside Passage Alaskan waters. Riding the ferry between Juneau and Skagway, I gathered 50 letters a day, collecting around 2,000 letters during my time there, all because I believed in protecting wild places, just like I do today. Then, in the early 2000s, President Bush took office, and with a stroke of his pen, he just signed away all these protections that myself and others had been working really hard to help ensure. Gonzo, just like that. It was a very bleak time for people who cared about protecting the earth, much like the times we are living in now. Today, I get text messages from Patagonia Action Network and the other activist networks I follow urging me to action. Then I was an activist for a living and had many friends and colleagues working in the same field. I still vividly remember that moment in my career when elected officials were cutting every environmental protection my colleagues and I had worked, sometimes for years, to put in place. They were all disappearing with a heartbreaking slash. To say that the moment was rough wouldn't even do it justice. It felt hopeless and depressing in the biggest way. Not dissimilar to the chaotic times we are living in now. I remember looking around and feeling as though a black cloud had descended upon myself and my colleagues. Under normal circumstances, this particular community has a high tolerance for being able to digest difficult things. Fueled not only by their love of the earth, It is the very real issues that threaten this place that motivate their action and drive their choices daily. They are like warriors for the planet, environmentalists are. But at this time, I began to notice there was something bigger and far more devastating going on here. There was starting to be a depressing black brown hue hanging over everyone I knew. And it wasn't just a flicker that could be transformed into something powerful by action. I noticed that it was actually beginning to diminish people, to dampen their light on a very real level. Hope began to be extinguished and replaced with a powerless desperation, a feeling that everything they were working toward was for naught, a feeling that important things that affected all of us were likely to go extinct. I had this turning moment one day while riding to work with my boyfriend at the time, who was an environmental lawyer. We were listening to the news, and one more piece of bad news came over the radio. I can't remember what it was, but I do remember my response. In that moment, I realized I had just crossed a threshold. A threshold I hadn't even been aware existed until that moment. I knew that I could no longer sustain a constant barrage of the depressing insanity and maintain my light. This moment illuminated a radical understanding for me that has been alive in me ever since. I realized that to get through that, this moment, I needed to generate inner light. Especially in rough times, it is vital to understand how to generate inner light. I knew that everywhere I looked in my colleagues and friends, the light was dimming. What was rising was anger and fear, but perhaps more importantly for me was that I felt the light seeping out of the people around me. All we could see was the dark. I also knew really clearly that I needed my light. Not only was it vital for me to be able to do the work that I was doing, but maybe it was vital for me to do it also because I didn't know if anyone else around me was going to. They had their ear to the megaphone and, in a lot of cases, needed to keep it there. I have always been internally driven to create antidotes. Sometimes I feel like an antidote machine. Maybe you already know this about me because last week I told you about my new free thing I created for you called Soul Notes. Okay, quick pause in the story. Soul Notes is a week's worth of bite-sized, uplifting audio guiding you to your own wisdom for ameliorating your life and this world. Because during tumultuous times, it is easy to feel helpless and scared. And I don't want you to feel that way. It is my wish for you that you remain in touch with your own power, even in chaotic times. The more you do that, the better we will all be, starting with you and those people in your life, but rippling out to the collective, of course, because we are all connected. I'll put a link in the show notes, of course, and you can also find it at amecartier.com/soulnotes. People have been sending me comments about soul notes, which is so amazing. And one of them said, Aimé, these are so thoughtful, beautiful, energizing, centering, all of it, which brought me great joy because that is why I made them. But what I want to tell you is that you also have an inner antidote machine. It is very precisely dialed to you, your circumstances, and your life, but the volume setting may be on low. It was my inner knowing that told me that day in the car all those years ago, you've got to turn that radio off right now. If you don't start generating light, no one else is going to do it for you. And furthermore, the world needs light right now. No more so than in times of confusion and darkness. My favorite quote, probably of all times, is this one by Clarissa Pinkola Estes. I've mentioned it before. It's like something I live my life by. Literally. She says, struggling souls catch light from other souls who are fully lit and willing to show it. If you would help to calm the tumult, this is one of the strongest things you can do. One of the innumerable things your intuition is good at is leading you toward and helping you maintain your own light. If you are not used to listening to this voice, if you are used to overriding it with all of the should of the world, you should do this, you should do that, you should not do this, then you may be out of practice listening to it. Maybe you are rusty at hearing, listening to, knowing, and acting on the language of your soul. Maybe you've been ignoring it for a long time because the world told you it was optional. It is not optional. Not if you want to get to the end of your life having accomplished what you are here to do. It's not optional. It's vital. It's your make a good life line. This, friend, is just one of the amazing things your intuition is for. Its voice is going to be subtle, okay? Most of the time, it's not going to be blaring at you, but it's going to tell you important things that are vital to the quality and experience of your life. It might tell you things like it did for me, switch off the news right now, or skip this event, or go to this event, support this community, offer this thing, call your son, whatever. If I hadn't marked the threshold and taken it seriously that day in the car over 20 years ago, I can tell you I would have gone dark cloud like everyone else around me. I knew the room needed a candle. Sometimes that's the only light you have to remind you of the sun. That's also a part of life, I think. Times when it feels like you are in a black tunnel, or maybe you don't sense any way forward, as near as I can tell, challenging times appear to be as integral a part of life on Earth as is sunshine. Storms exist. Upheaval happens. Sometimes it's the only way to get a rebuild. This is Aimée Cartier, and if you just joined us on the radio, you are listening to the Intuition for Changemakers show. Today, we are talking about the importance of generating inner light, especially in chaotic times. And we are going to wrap up with two, hopefully, inner light generative things, a poem and a funny story. The first is a poem by Mary Oliver. I happened to open to it the other day when I had already decided that we were going to talk about generating inner light today. I will warn you, every time I read this poem, it feels circular to me. Like when I get to the end, I want to start back at the beginning again. Sometimes I read it twice or more times in a row. I'm not going to do that today, but you can rewind on your podcast app if you want to do that. It's called The Buddha's Last Instructions by Mary Oliver, as I said. Make of yourself a light, said the Buddha before he died. I think of this every morning as the east begins to tear off its many clouds of darkness to send up the first signal, a white fan streaked with pink and violet, even green. An old man, he lay down between two solid trees, and he might have said anything, knowing it was his final hour. The light burns upward. It thickens and settles over the fields. Around him, the villagers gathered and stretched forward to listen. Even before the sun itself hangs, disattached in the blue air, I am touched everywhere by its ocean of yellow waves. No doubt he thought of everything that had happened in his difficult life. And then I feel the sun itself as it blazes over the hills like a million flowers on fire. Clearly, I'm not needed. Yet I feel myself turning into something of inexplicable value. Slowly, beneath the branches, he raised his head. He looked into the faces of that frightened crowd. Isn't that lovely? One of many favorites I have of Mary Oliver's. Okay, speaking of inner light, one thing that is always useful for generating inner light is laughter. It always adds sparkle and goodness to a bod and this world. So, in light of that, I've decided to conclude this episode with a stupid story from my life that I hope will make you laugh as much as it has made me laugh. One fall, when I was visiting my family in Minnesota, I was in town with my daughter for my youngest sister's, Nicole, her baby shower. And I was out with my other sister, Jackie, and her two girls and my daughter. We stopped at Starbucks because I wanted a green tea latte. So I volunteered to go in and get our drinks while my sister, her two girls who were around 3 and 5 years old, and my daughter waited in the car. My sister Jackie, like all of my siblings, myself included, is very specific about her desires. And she was telling me while we were in the car that she wanted something like cold brewed pumpkin something or other. I think I told her to text it to me to ensure that I got it right. Then I went in the store and ordered. While I was standing there waiting for our drinks, I thought to myself, I'm going to play a trick on her. So I looked at the menu and I found a drink that was not what she ordered and texted her the words, pumpkin spice latte coming up, thumbs up, smiley face. Dots appeared immediately. No! Texts coming in quick succession. No, no, no. Next text. That's not what I ordered. Then she repeats her cold brew pumpkin something order. I'm standing in the Starbucks, literally snickering out loud to myself at the whole thing, thinking of how funny I am sending this text to her. I'm standing there and standing there and standing there waiting for our order. There are literally no other customers around. So finally, after what feels like ages, I approach the barista and ask her about my drinks, which I had probably ordered like 7 minutes or more ago at this point. All the while, my sister and the girls are waiting in the car outside. The barista points me over to where at this Starbucks they put the drinks after they're done and asks me if those are them. I walk over, of course, and see the drinks waiting. I guess I was waiting for them to call out my name or to call out the order. Either they never did it or I was too engrossed in thinking of how funny I was to notice. So finally, drinks in hand, I walk out of the Starbucks to where my sister had parked when we came in. I'm standing at the car door. I'm putting one of the drinks on top of the car so that I can open the door when I look in and see this is not my sister at the wheel. Inside the car, there is some random woman looking at her phone. I don't even think she noticed me. When I see that I am about to open the door of some random woman's car and get in with our drinks, I start laughing. I start laughing so hard that I know I'm going to pee my pants. So I slam my legs together. I'm standing there, cross-legged, doubled over in laughter, also trying to get the drink off the roof of her car and move away from the car without alarming this woman or having her notice me. When I do, all the while, I am laughing so hard that I am, with two hot drinks in my hand, backing slowly out of the narrow space between two cars, completely cross-legged, so that I don't totally let loose on the pee bearing down with my laughter. When I get into the middle of the parking lot, I look around to find my sister, my nieces, and my daughter parked in a different position where they can see the whole thing, all dying of laughter themselves. At this point, I am literally crying with laughter and still clamping my legs together so hard so that I don't have to go to our next destination drenched in pee. I can't even move. I am laughing so hard. So I'm just standing in the middle of the parking lot. My head is bowed in laughter. My legs in some pretzel position, tears leaking out of my eyes, holding the drinks out wide and high with my arms so that they don't spill from the shaking my body is doing. The whole time I was standing inside chuckling out loud to myself about how funny I was to text my sister that wrong order. She and the girls were sitting in the parking lot laughing at their joke on me that they had changed parking spots without me knowing it. And conveniently, the universe obliged by sending another woman in a similarly sized and same color car to park in the spot we had been in. But this is the thing that keeps on giving about this story. I mean, I still laugh, as you can tell, when I'm thinking of it. But the thing that keeps it going is, of course, I told them all that I peed my pants when I got in, because it took me some time to stop laughing enough to unfurl my legs. At that point, my sister had pulled up next to me and there was another car moving through the lot, and she was like, "Get in, there's someone coming." This was 3 years ago at the time of this telling, almost to the day. I still, and I mean still, like in as little as 3 weeks ago, get texts from my sister and her girls about this. Texts like, "We're passing the place where Aunt Amy peed her pants," because one of my nieces always mentions it whenever they drive by. They all remember it. Or another text that came this summer from my sister who said, "I was just comforting Gwen because she peed in her pants a little when Eve shouts from the other room," those are my nieces, "Aunt Amy pees her pants." 3 weeks ago, the text was, "Gwen wants to know if the pee went on the sidewalk." To which I responded, "No. Just in my undies and jeans." To this day, it is still one of our favorite, at least my favorite, family stories. It still makes my eyes crinkle and I chuckle to myself to think of my sister and I in our respective places, laughing about the jokes we were playing on each other and the memorable hilarity that ensued. Friend, I don't want you to forget your light, because we need it. That's in all caps. I would shout it if it wouldn't hurt your ears. We need your inner light. Times of darkness and fear and anger and confusion and upheaval need those people who can remember the light while the storm is in play. I hope you get as much of a chuckle out of me peeing my pants in that moment as the whole of our family has for going on 3 years now. But what I really hope is that you remember to generate your inner light. Your intuition is going to guide you to that if you ask it. So let's conclude by asking it, okay? How can I generate inner light? What can I do right now, today, tomorrow, and the next day to strengthen, amplify, or generate my inner light? Remember, you matter. You are not alone. We are here together. As you are, you are enough. All my love. rusty at hearing or knowing the language of your soul, i.e. your intuition, I can help you with that. Solutionaries is my year-long program where I teach all the practices that have been working for me for more than 20 years. I've got students who've been effectively using them for a decade. Because the truth is that your intuition will help you with pretty much everything, from the practical details of your life to the understanding in your body that you are an important part of the whole, that you can and do generate deep wisdom and add positively to your life and those of others. It cannot be otherwise. From where I'm sitting, it's the most important conversation in your life. If you want tools for tapping it and knowing it and getting its messages with clarity, then join us. It's time. Doors are open now, but they close soon. We start a week from today on the new moon of October 21st. All the details are at aimeecartier.com/soul. You'll find a link in the show notes. Toodles.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.